My turn. Great. Okay. Good to see you all this morning. And I just don't remember the sports car bit. I don't know what. I never got that far, but anyway. Sadly, the white suit did emerge, but anyway, great. Well, it's what an incredible morning to be together. And I feel that God's already prepared the ground for today. And what we're going to share about. And so just to say, actually, there will be opportunity, because there's obviously lots of questions that people are not daring to ask me about what's going on in our lives, and there will be an opportunity soon. It may even come next Sunday night to be able to answer some of those things. So, but please do come and talk to us. It's not a huge secret, you know, we're not joining some secret sect or anything, I promise you. We're still going to be here. So, great. Well, let's turn in God's Word, and this is remarkable. I was just thinking about what to do for this week, and this is what God laid on my heart. Without really thinking, maybe subliminal, I was thinking about where we've been over the last week with the prayer and fasting, but it's Abraham, story of Abraham in Genesis 12, and verses 1 through to 9. So, let's see how God wants to share this with us. And so, John, if you're happy to pop that up. Excuse me, I'm really dry this morning. So, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Well, don't let that deter you in any way if you've got another version. But it says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse, and curse him who curses you. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions, and all they had gathered, and all the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the Terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were there in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham journeyed, going still further south. It's amazing how the Bible captures some of these stories, and I'm sure there were lots of other things going on, but This has been one of those stories that has always given me excitement, because I think what a lovely thing to be doing, walking out, and in a way it's kind of prophetic of what Anne and I are going to be doing. But I think it's got greater applications for us as a church too. So this was the first of many things that Abram, not Abraham, still Abram at this point in time, God was going to change his name later. But the first of many things that Abram was going to do, and it included some big risks. Going to a place of the unknown, as the scripture refers to it. Kind of scary and exciting, all wrapped up into the one. And the sense of adventure that must have come from it. But it was actually the first of many adventures that Abram was going to see. And with it were going to come some amazing things, some promises. So I want us to explore this morning this journey. So it's interesting that we're talking about this Saturday morning, about grace for the journey. It's already been referenced this morning about journeying with God. And so the title for this morning is simply this: it's making the journey. And so this applies, I believe, to each of us. So the instruction comes to Abram, but it's not a complete instruction. He doesn't get the whole, as Michael said, the whole of this blueprint. It's not all laid in there. He's given some of the detail, enough to get him going, but not enough to finish at that point. So it says then, and John, if we can just keep bringing the scriptures up. There's quite a lot of scriptures to run through this morning, but it says this. Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And the first thing that struck me about this was that Abram, as I say, was not given all the detail, but he was expected to act. And sometimes it is as though God says things to us, doesn't he? And it's like, actually, just do it. Don't ask all the questions now, just do it. Because when you do it, the questions will get answered. It's a bit like when Jesus said, I think it was to the guys that had leprosy, they said, go off to see the priest. And as they did, they were healed. It wasn't, let's get our healing first and then go and see the priest. The step of faith came as they made their journey. It was something, if you like, of a mystery tour. I don't know if you've heard that expression from years ago. You used to get these coach rides that would take you off somewhere into the middle of nowhere, and you didn't really know where you were going. All that you knew was that you would come back sometime later that day. They were called mystery tours. Abram has got his father with him, in the beginning had his father with him and then his family. What's interesting is that when the word comes to Abraham, it already come to his father previously. And if we look, if we can put the next scripture up, we'll look at the map. Actually, first of all, let's just do this quickly. Like, this is fascinating that the journey that was taken from Ur across in the right here, I don't know if you can see, it's not very clever, and Canaan's over here. I mean, was there something wrong with his sat nav? Because he when they leave with his father a few chapters earlier, they head up there to Haran. Now, you may know the reasons of that. You know, maybe great uncle Arthur was up there or something, but they were heading north. Why did they go there? When actually it says that of his father, Terah, it says that they were heading towards Canaan at that point in time. But we'll come back to that and perhaps we'll get some understanding. But that's the journey that they tried to make. So what did happen? When they got up to Haran, actually, can we just put the map back up, John? Sorry, I'm messing you about. If we take to Haran up there, what actually happened there? Because they were journeying as this family. Did they get so far? Did they tire? Did they just think, actually, well, this is quite all right? In other words, they accepted it like a second best and not what was supposed to be intended. It's not clear. Maybe it was for Abram to complete the journey. Maybe it was part of God's calling. I'm going to get you this far, take you up to there, and then you're going to take over, Abram. But that's in Haran, that's where we read Abram's father died. They settled there. Terah, his father, dies. And now the call comes to Abraham. And we read this in Genesis 12. And it says that he was then told to go. So what I want us to do today is to look at the aspects of this journey for Abraham. And I've tried to be a bit clever. It doesn't always work when you do this, but we're going to call it the five F's. Right? The five F's. And so the first of this adventure, this dream, this vision, whatever you want to call it, the journey, whatever you want to call it, the first F is faith. Abraham needed faith. He was known as a man of faith. You will not fulfill your journey in God, so I am discovering, unless you're prepared to grapple with faith. If we can just flick on, go up to the Hebrews 11, that's it, thank you. It says this, and this is where the writer is summarising all these great patriarchs, and he comes up to this point with Abram, and there's quite a bit about Abram. It says this in verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. They were his children and grandchildren, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So it's clear it was by faith. Then we read on in verse 11, the next slide, John. By faith, Sarah, this is his wife, also received strength to conceive the seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many of as the stars in the sky, in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. This is the promise that God was going to give to Abram. And when it says he was as good as dead, you've got to remember this guy was nearly 100. It was almost beyond, well, he was beyond natural childbirth. For Sarah, it was definitely beyond natural childbirth season. So there were miracles happening and promises were beginning to happen. How? Because they were stepping out in faith upon what was this journey. They didn't know where they were going. This obviously came later, but they still didn't know where they were going. It says in verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. What an incredible parallel there, the forerunner to Jesus Christ. Giving up your son. The difference was, as we know, the end of the story, Abraham got his back. And in a way, God got Jesus back, but he had to go through as the sacrifice for us, and he gave him up completely. In Isaac, your seed shall be called, including that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received for him in a figurative sense. So in other words, there was this action. It was as though Abraham was going to lose the seed, the promise that was coming to him of being a father, a multitude of people over many nations, and it was going to be through this son who was going to give up. And we'll talk about that again in a minute. But the interesting thing is that Hebrews starts by saying this. It says, now faith, and you know this, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. It's this kind of mystery. I know something's out there because God has said, I just can't see it. That's faith. That's where you start to do your part. But further down in verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Folks, it's impossible. If you're going to rule out faith, then your journey stops now. And even if you think, well, God's told me stuff, there's no way I can see some of this. Take comfort from some of these things. These were simple miracles. For Abraham to have a child at that age was a miracle. So the next thing, the next F, you must have the right frame of mind. Okay? Forward thinking, two F's together there, but frame of mind. You're thinking, well, how can you, if you don't know where you're going, how can you be forward thinking? How can you develop the right frame of mind? But, you know, everything that moves is healthy. I don't know if you realize this, but of course, the Holy Spirit is the moving aspect of God. He's the one who does the stuff, if I can put it like that. And it says that right from the beginning in Genesis. Isn't it interesting that he's referred to, I think I might have said this before, but he's referred to as water and fire. Which do you get more pleasure out of, moving water or still water? Moving. Isn't it lovely when you're standing by a stream and the water's coming past you? You know, it's something beautiful about movement. A fire, when it's active, of course, is moving. You can't detect the flames. You can't actually hold them still. It's a mystery, isn't it? Fire's a mystery. And that's how the Holy Spirit is. So, but we need to be in that sort of frame of mind that says we need to be moving. Our faith journey needs to be one of moving. So if we're walking with the Holy Spirit, then we will be moving. That's a fact. To have the right frame of mind is so important. Doesn't make the journey easy. In fact, it makes it very interesting, as we discovered last week. We didn't know whether we were going to get all that money, but God did. But that's part of the faith. God, we're going to step out and believe you. We're going to do our part. And the journey also, the other thing with the frame of mind, I think, is that it's made up of some of these sort of components that you need to have a life of surrender. You need to have a life of sacrifice. You need to have a life of obedience. Now, they're not sort of things that we want to sort of immediately grapple and grasp with, but they come also with the journey. They're like the doorways of blessing. They bring the release when you apply them on the journey. And again, we're going to look at some of those as well. The other sort of frame of mind I'm thinking about is there's this sort of attitude that says, well, I'm too old to do this sort of stuff. Or, you know, somebody else can do it. They're younger than me. You know, they can play the guitar, I can't. Or blah, blah, blah. You can go on and on and on. It says of Abram that he was 75 years old when he started this move. So, guys, there's still time. Unless, of course, you're over 75, then you've still got time. There's something else there. You know what I'm trying to say? Don't dismiss yourself in God just because you think you're too old. Or because you can't do this, you can't do that. It's not fair. It's not fair on you, and it limits God. So what were some of the challenges then? Well, of course, we read further on, if you go on into Genesis, one of the greatest challenges, and we've referenced this already, and if we can put this one up, Genesis 22, John. It says that Abram was tested. I'm jumping ahead in the story, but it says this. Sometime later, God tested Abram and said to him, Abraham, he's now changed his name, by the way. God's given him a fresh name. The promise has come. Here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. On a mountain I will show you. And this is the bit, and I think I said this last time, but this is the bit that absolutely tickles me. It says, early the next morning, he saddled his donkey to go. Sacrifice your son, and early the next morning, he gets up to go. Do you know, if that had been me, I'd have been laying out endless fleeces, talking to the pastor, da-da-da-da-da, because, God, you've got to be joking. This can't possibly be right. This does not make any sense. But God's journey is different to ours. And we need to be prepared to step out, even if the circumstances are ridiculous. And I'm not suggesting you go away today and murder your son. Some of you perhaps feel like that sometimes. But you know what I'm saying? It's taking hold of the impossible and saying, you've spoken, God, so it's got to be. Somehow it's got to be. The next step. Fathers. And I'm not just addressing fathers, I'm talking generally. And again, this has been a subject so dear to my own heart over such a long time. But if we go back the chapter before chapter 12 in Genesis 11, it said, and Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah and his son and Abram's wife, and they went out from Ur, which we saw on the map of the Chaldeans, to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran where they dwelt. So the days of Terah were 205 years. Wow. And Terah died in Haran. Folks, we need people to help us. And I really felt God say, bring up again this emphasis on fathers. The journey started in Ur. Whether he got it wrong and went to Haran in error before they came down to Canaan, none of us will know that at this point in time. The point was that it was Abram's father that started the journey going. And for so many of us, we need father figures to help us on the journey. We need people who come alongside us, the role models, the mentors, the disciplers, those people who can show us how to journey. For the time will come when those people will pass away, and then we will be left to take the journey on, and with somebody alongside us, so that they can carry the journey on. That's how it works. Generation after generation after generation. But fathers are key in this. People that will hand the baton on to us. We can't do it without. There are people in my life that have steered me up to this point. There are people in your lives that have steered you up to this point. And then there will come the place when they will cease and you will carry on, almost as the master in charge of the journey. Fathers are important. The fourth thing. Favor. Now I'm going to head on to a little bit of dodgy ground at this point, but you'll bear with me. But if we turn, put the next one up, John. Genesis 12, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And this is it, verse 2. Here comes is the promise. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Can you imagine receiving that as a prophetic word over your life? Your head would be so big as you went out the door. You know, forget new church. I'm on the march, you know. nothing's going to stop me now. What an incredible promise. And the lovely thing is that with sacrifice and surrender and obedience comes the promise. You will get the promise of God upon your life to fulfill what God is asking you to do. The next thing with that, and this is where I slightly come onto dodgy ground, and perhaps we can put the next scripture up, Genesis 15. Let me just talk about the promise. Let me just read. This is the scripture that goes with it. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord, what will you give me, seeing as I go childless? And the heir of my house is Elijah of Damascus." Now, in those days, if you had nobody to follow on from you, your servant inherited your good fortune. So he was thinking, well, my servant's going to get it. Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one is born of my house and my heir," referring to the servant. "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" So Abraham was worried about getting a child. God was concerned about the big picture. And he was saying, "I'll give you an heir, but come and look at the stars for a minute, because from that heir, all of this is going to come." Do you see? What we've done this last week is one step, big, big step. Don't get me wrong, big, big step. But it's all part of this huge step. Do you see? Don't stop now thinking what's going to come. Be thinking about what might be coming. But the promise, the fulfillment comes with it. The next thing I wanted to come on to is this. With obedience, and this is the dodgy bit, comes prosperity. Now I can feel some of you saying, "Be careful, Paul, don't promise prosperity." You're right, I'm not going to. But neither can I deny, when God wants to move, he does provide for you. In Genesis 13, it says, "Then Abraham went up from Egypt." He'd moved on. He'd actually come through Canaan. He'd gone down to Egypt and now was going to be on his way back. He and his wife and all that he'd had and Lot with him to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Lot also went with him, with Abraham. They had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great they could not dwell together. Two people could not dwell together because their possessions were so great. That is ridiculous. Is it? Do you get what I'm saying? Prosperity comes to those. Our experience, I can say this from my wife and myself, but we have never been in need while we've done what God has told us to do. Never. We may have struggled or we may have been tested in it, but God has always provided the prosperity that we've needed to see us through. And that's why I queried the sports car thing, so I never got that far. But, and you know when Tim joked about the donuts? If you don't know the story about the donuts, there's the J. John story about where he's sitting at an airport, thinks he's got his donuts on the table, and the man opposite is eating them all. And then when he's finished, he's getting really wound up. And when he finishes, he discovers that his donuts are still on his case. And the kind of thing behind it is that, so what? We get wound up over a bag of donuts. God's got all the donuts. That was Tim's point. God's got all of the resources that we need. I'm not going to say that I want to be wealthy or we will be wealthy. That's what I'm promising. And that's the danger with the prosperity teaching. Give to God and you will get. You give to God and it's up to him what you get. But I do believe you will get enough for what you need. And sometimes he blesses you with what you want as well. And that's the lovely thing. Amen. And then finally, we need to break the last F. We need to break with the familiar. And moving from one place to the next, this will possibly create a bit of reaction as well. But I want to say this, that if you are still doing things the way you were maybe 15 or 20 years ago, then I think you've reached your Haran and not Canaan. In other words, you've settled, you've pitched your tent and you've settled. The journey has stopped for you. Let's just read this. Put the next one up, John. Verse 6, Abraham, this is from our first read, and Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree at Marah, and the Canaanites were there in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And then read this, and there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him, and he moved there from the mountain to the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west side and now on the right. Do you see, he's moving, pitching all the time. And there he built an altar to the Lord and to call on the name of the Lord. And then verse 9, and this is the verse, so Abraham journeyed, going still further south. It appeared that Abraham didn't seem to want to stop in any one place, but he set up tents, marker places, where he worshipped, where these words of God were coming to him as he journeyed. This place, God, I remember this because this is what you said to me here. This place, because this is what you said to me there. And we need to do the same. It's all right to put your tent down, as long as you don't make it a permanent fixture. Because the journey is going to require you to keep on the move. Somebody made this comment to me this morning, and I thought this was really, really great. But it says this. It says, we settle for less instead of aiming for higher. Apparently it was on a radio program this morning. But we settle for less instead of aiming higher. Abraham could have settled for less. He could have stayed at Haran and thought, well, this is good. The country's good. My livestock's increasing. I've got all I need. But God said to him, go. And he went. If he hadn't have gone, would God have given him the promise? Would the things have happened the way that they'd have happened? Would he have gone through that amazing experience, which none of us would want to go through, but to present your child in that way, raising the knife, and then God says, stop. And then to be have it accounted to you as righteousness because of your faith. Wow. What incredible things. I believe with all my heart that we're on a journey. That's quite evident. I'm on a journey. My wife and I are on a journey. My family's on a journey. And I can say for us, I don't know where the next step is going to be. It does appear that God is leading us to be involved more in Poland. So that is going to be part and parcel of it. I'm still going to be here. But where is your journey? What's God saying to you? Has he spoken to you in some way? And you thought, well, actually, Haran looks pretty good. I'm comfortable where I am. Or are you getting up and going? Are you saying, God, I don't know the end, but I know you've got something in store for me. What's new in your life? What fresh experiences are you having? We need to examine ourselves, I believe. And, you know, one of the things that whatever happened at Haran before Abraham set off to Canaan, it says there that Terah died. And I think that's my biggest fear for us, is that if you get so far on the journey, that's where you'll die. Now, that could have been God's plan. I'm not going to read too much into that. As I say, it could have been that Terah, Abram's father, took him so far. Abram was then to fulfill that journey and go on. But it does say that he did intend to leave Ur and go across to Canaan, and he didn't make it. He died somewhere else. And that's the danger that we could face if we stop our journey and don't go on with God. I just want to say, let's with every ounce of our being, make this a fulfilling journey. Now, I get more and more excited. I can't seem to do so much physically as I used to like to do. But I don't know about you, but that wasn't meant to be that funny. But, you know, when Dave Smith talked about that thing, isn't that great? We know Dave, and that's not a name drop. We do. He's been here many times, and we're blessed by his ministry. But there's a recognition that's going on. And I want to say that this place, I think Islam, we were talking about this in eldership the other day, but I do think Islam is going to be key, because other churches are going to struggle if they don't do the journey bit. we've got to be journeying, and people will come to the place where there's life, where there's food, where there's nourishment, all spiritual. They're going to come to where they can find it. So it's important for us that we do what we do. But let's make it fulfilling. And finally, just to say, finally, this journey was a blessing because you and I are now recipients of what Abraham did back then. We're now here today because of the fulfillment of that promise. Aren't you glad that he went when he didn't know where? Then that will be the same for the generations to come, because we're going where we don't know where, but we know that God's with us. Amen. Amen. Amen.